Okay, good evening, everybody, or good afternoon. Thank you all very much for joining the Monday, August 16th Committee on Environment and Energy. It's now 3:07. We have a quorum in the presence of legislators Testa, Burton, and Mezzano. Little bookkeeping first. We have two sets of minutes in front of us. Do we have motions on these sets of minutes?
I will move the minutes for July 12th and July 19th.
Okay, do we have a second? Moved by Legislator Testa.
I was here. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Couple quickies before we get started. In terms of schedule, the next 2 weeks, I think, at least what I'm hearing on the floor, sound like it's going to be tough to get meetings together. Should we just be safe and forego the next 2 weeks,
yes,
and we pick up after Labor Day?
I'm a little busy the next 2 months, but I'll do my best to make those meetings.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, while we're talking about schedule, I just want to show you what we're working on. Chris and Wendy, but particularly Chris, we're putting together a flow chart of the projects that we're working on. We will have that for you at the next meeting. We still have some more editing to do. We'll have it for everybody. As I've said before, this is your committee. You know, I'm just the guy who helps facilitate things. If there are any issues any of you have, you can either submit them through consent agenda or come directly to me. I'm happy to entertain everybody's issues here. That's what democracy is all about. So we're moving ahead with that. The MS4 that we took up the other time, we wanted two things. We wanted the act changed to a local law. That has been done. We wanted an opinion from law. That is almost done, but it was not done in time for last week's meeting or today's meeting. But I have committed to the administration that as soon as we get that, we will fast track that. You know, the MS4 stuff is near and dear to my heart, as to all of yours, as we work on that with all of our communities. So the county should take a lead in that. And as soon as that's done, we will put that on the next agenda. So that's where that is. One quick update. I think last time I let you know that Chris Crane and I were going over to Rockland County. We met, we went to a regional meeting of environment chairs of the legislature. We thought it was very helpful as a working group. We're going to continue to meet bi-monthly. So the next meeting is in Ulster County on September 16th. Any of you are welcome to come at any time if you want to come to any of them. But we're going to meet again and begin to put out a framework, and I will invite them to come here to meet with us at some point. So, having said all that, taking care of business, let's get to the business of hand, which is the recertification of the Ag District. What is before us is a long time in coming. I know that Dave and planning and the steering group and the board worked for many, many months on this, and we're glad to have it before us. What is before us today, while we're considering the entire plan, what is before us today is just to vote to put this before the board for a public hearing. So we're not voting on the final plan's passage today. So there's going to be ample time for public comment. There will be time for public comment before the full board. Obviously, we want to have a robust discussion today. But all we're voting on today is putting it up for public hearing. And, you know, from my way of thinking, public hearing never hurt anybody. So that's what we're talking about today. In terms of time, we've got another meeting in here at 4. I know Public Works needs to get in here at 4. That leaves us 50 minutes. I think that should be enough time. So if we can all gauge our time appropriately. So thank you, and thank you for your patience. With us today, our guests, Dave Kavinga from the Planning Department, Barbara Wilkins from the Ag and Farm Board, and Dave Jackson, who is from the Tax Commissioner, but in this capacity was on the Steering Committee.
I'm an ex officio member of the Farm Board.
Ex officio. Okay, thank you for the clarification. So we're going to hear from them. We're going to hear from the public. Questions, comments, we'll leave time. Everybody's got time to contribute. That's the way we do things here. So please, nobody stress. Everyone will have time to weigh in. So, Dave, why don't we start with Dave Kavinga, that is. Why don't we start with you as the senior staffer on this. Why don't you sort of take us through the plan, where it's been, how we got here, and then maybe we'll go to Barbara and we'll go to the other Dave. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, thanks.
Would you like a little background on
please.
The agricultural district?
Please.
The county, actually the Soil and Water Conservation District had been doing an annual, or a probably at least five, maybe five or every 10 years, doing a survey of farmland in the county. In the late 80s and early 90s, they discovered an alarming increase in the loss of farmland in the county, and in response to that, in addition to the water protection, watershed protection goals in the northern part of the county started looking at a number of different types of farmland protection programs. Available to it, the agricultural district is a state program, and that was one of the initiatives chosen to be implemented in order to protect and preserve farmland in the county. So, in the late 90s, the county first adopted or created an agriculture and farmland protection board, and as you're aware, that board is an advisory board to the Board of Legislators. Most of the actions under the state program are designed to be undertaken by the Board of Legislators as the legislative body for the county. The agricultural district followed the creation of the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board in 2000, and in 2001 was actually certified by the state. So the ag district, like most ag districts in the state, has an 8-year review period. July 17th, 2009 was that date, that annual or that recertification date for the Westchester County Agricultural District. In advance of that, in April of 2008, I think we had the first meeting of the steering committee. A steering committee was formed to assist in the review, and in addition to actually most of the Ag Board members were on the steering committee. We also added the Watershed Agricultural Council, the Westchester Land Trust, the Soil and Water Conservation District, and two members of the County Planning Commission, or Planning Board, and a representative from local municipalities. We asked the Northern Westchester Watershed Committee to appoint one of its supervisors as a member of the steering committee as well. So we tried to seek some broader representation with the steering committee to address the issues associated with the agricultural district. We did also retain a consultant, the same consultant that we had used to develop the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Plan in 2004, who is probably one of the more knowledgeable, even though they're from Maryland, they were probably one of the more knowledgeable agricultural consultants really in the Northeast. They do work all over the world, and they really have a good handle on the economy. In New York State, they've done a number of agricultural studies in the Hudson Valley and in Long Island. So we worked with the agricultural consultant to start to try and characterize the agricultural district. That's one of the first things that we have to do with this recertification process is to update the data and see where the agricultural industry is in the county and see how, and then evaluate how the agricultural district is working. So that's all documented in the plan here. You'll see a lot of the data background. As most of us are probably aware, that the equine industry predominates Westchester's agricultural industry. Unfortunately, the USDA doesn't necessarily count or consider equine as an agricultural. They focus more on agricultural production and products, not equine. So there's really not a lot of data on the equine industry. The consultant took a lot of we wound up spending more time than we had budgeted to collect data on the equine industry so that we can get a better handle on what's going on in Westchester. And then we did some outreach. And then we developed the survey form, did some outreach to the actual farmers, and that too was despite the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board's best efforts. It was difficult getting a very high response rate back. We're still only at about 50% of the actual. We sent it out to all of the agricultural district property owners, and we did some additional outreach efforts, and then we did that in three iterations, and still only had about a 50% response rate, which was a little bit not as desirable as we had hoped, but at the same time, and that's all reflected kind of in the data that you have before you. And the maps that we have at hand. The steering committee and the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board discussed the agricultural district over the past year or two, and ultimately developed a number of recommendations for modification of the district for its continuance. As you're aware, the Board of Legislators doesn't have to. We had some discussions with the Department of Ag and Markets about what is required. Now, the state and ag and market law lay out a process for recertification, but there are no penalties for not recertifying. If a district is not recertified, it just continues as is. So the district has continued as is in its current state since July 17th of 2009. So since that annual renewal or that recertification, what do they call it, anniversary, that nothing has changed. The district doesn't automatically go away. It doesn't automatically become the state's or something like that. It just remains as is. So we are here before, but that being said, the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board has adopted this report, which does recommend that the district be modified in basically two ways. One is a geographic modification, so limiting the district to certain municipalities or portions of municipalities within the county. And then two, creating a number of evaluation criteria to be used to evaluate farms proposed to be included in the district. Now, the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board has used criteria to evaluate farms proposed to be added to the district. In 2004, ag and market law was changed to allow an annual inclusion process whereby property owners can petition the Board of Legislators on an annual basis to include additional land within the district. So the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board has been evaluating those properties based on a number of criteria, all of which have been incorporated into the major criteria that are included in this recommendation. So the geographic limitations, you can see on the map here, the communities of Cortland, Yorktown, Somers, North Salem, Mooseboro, and Bedford are proposed to be in the district, as well as the western portion of the town of Mount Pleasant, including the village of Sleepy Hollow. So everything west of the Taconic Parkway. And that actually captures in excess of, or maybe around 95% of the land that's currently in the agricultural district. So we feel it was a good way to address that. In discussing with the agricultural consultant on creating an agricultural district, he said the first thing that you usually do is identify your agricultural production centers, and then draw a circle around. So we've basically done that by identifying those municipalities in which most of the agriculture and agricultural district land currently exist. We're kind of tightening that around there. There are a number of requirements that being in an agricultural district place on local municipalities. So, requiring a municipality or imposing those requirements on a municipality that only has a quarter of an acre of land of farmland, I think the steering committee, felt that wasn't necessarily appropriate. I think everybody wanted to make it clear that proposing these modifications was not a vote against farming in those communities, but more looking at the agricultural district as the appropriate tool to promote agriculture in those communities. So that we want to continue to reiterate through the process that This is about the agricultural district. It's not necessarily about agriculture. So, but in addition, again, to the geographic criteria, evaluation criteria we created as well, we followed the, or used the criteria already in Ag and Market Law for the agricultural assessment program, which often gets confused with the agricultural districts. It's not, but it is included in the same article of law, and there is often that confusion, and we're not going to help any, but we are going to use that criteria for the agricultural district. A number of other communities, counties do this throughout the state as well, and that is a minimum of 7 acres of land and $10,000 annually gross sales, or a minimum of $50,000 of gross sales annually. So, and we believe that the tax filing forms should be an adequate way for property owners to demonstrate that. And you will see, a lot of the farms, will easily comply with that. And then some of the smaller farms will have to get maybe review them in a little bit more detail. So that's the first criteria.
Can you repeat that again, please?
Yeah, it's basically regarding the scale of the operation. Right. So it has to be a minimum of 7 acres and $10,000 annual gross sales. A minimum of $50,000 annual gross sales. So if it's less than 7 acres, they have to be grossing 50,000. And you may think that's small, but we do have some very small farms that are growing high end horticultural products or things like that that are actually making a lot of money, in excess of the $50,000. So we feel that that it's a good criteria to evaluate whether it's a real viable agricultural operation and of the scale that deserves protection under the agricultural district. So that was the first criteria. A couple of the other criteria are, again, criteria that the board now uses. That is that all of the parcels must function as a single farm. The agriculture and markets law allows parcels to be, they don't even have to be owned. They can be, a farmer can be renting land from another property owner. The parcels do not have to be contiguous. So it's really up to the applicant and then the board to evaluate whether those parcels constitute a single farm. In addition to that, the parcels must be able to support the agricultural operation. And we have had instances where a property owner was proposing to have a horse farm on a land that was all steep slopes. And the ag board looked at that and said, it's just not appropriate use for the property. There are other, that's not to say there aren't other agricultural, potential agricultural uses for the property, but the Ag Board does review that and felt that that should be a criteria that stays and continues. And I think it is important to the success of the agricultural district. Another criteria is that the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board promotes the use of sound agricultural practices. And that can be demonstrated in a number of ways, either through a sound agricultural practices determination by the state or the implementation of a whole farm plan or something similar. And this is really to ensure that Westchester's farms or the farms in the district are achieving some minimum standard of environmental performance to try and reduce that's one of the reasons we started this whole thing. So we wanted to make sure that there was something in there on the environmental aspects of the farming operations. And then there's a kind of a catch-all, I think, with other, where the board does remind everybody that the Agriculture Farmland Protection Board can ask for any other information if it feels is necessary to evaluate an application. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what you see here, what that results in. We got 101 responses to the surveys sent out. The map reflects the results of that. I think of those 101. Let's see. Of those 101, 11 were in municipalities that were not proposed to be continued for the agricultural district. And then there were, I think there were another 11 that were smaller than the 7 acres. So the green parcels, the green parcels here are the responses that we got back. And in those communities, in the yellow, the green parcels in the yellow communities, are presumed to be in the proposal for the agricultural district at this time. Now, just to kind of cover the process.
Question, I'm sorry.
Sure, no, not at all.
So the agricultural district is not the whole town, it's those areas in the town.
The agricultural district is basically, it's a little confusing. It's basically parcel-based, but the communities in which the agricultural districts are located, the requirements of the agricultural district do apply townwide. So there are requirements that the community proactively address farmland protection in their comprehensive planning process. There are some additional notification requirements for different types of applications within 500 feet of a farm, of an ag district property. So there are additional requirements that do wind up being placed on the whole community. In the town, but no, the agricultural district is parcel-based. Most agricultural districts in the state are becoming parcel-based as GIS, makes those parcel-level data more readily available. So that's where technology is kind of moving in that direction. The just to kind of cover the process a little bit. The process, the Ag and Markets Law does lay out the process for the renewal, and that's basically the legislation or the resolutions before you now are to initiate that process. The first act is to publish a legal notice notifying the community at large that the process has started and that there will be a minimum of 30-day comment period. So the public can submit. Anybody can submit whatever comments they want to the Board of Legislators concerning the district.
Can I interject real quick? I'm gonna violate my own rule. I want us all to wait to ask questions. But since you raised the issue of public notice, at least according to our research, 3 of the 5 towns being noticed aren't in the district. We've got Mamaroneck, Greenberg, and Newcastle.
It has to be distributed equally among the current district.
Oh, okay.
That's the way the law reads.
Okay.
So until the district is modified, we did choose those communities to get the most equal distribution. Certainly, we will also reach out to each of the municipalities individually as well, and make sure that the chief elected officials and their planning directors, if they have them, are noticed of the
Gotcha.
So there's this comment period that begins first. And concurrently with the comment period, the law reads that the Board of Legislators is to direct the Ag Board to prepare a report. That's what you have before you. So we didn't include that in the resolution. That we're a little bit ahead of the game on that, which is actually pretty good because I think it does represent a lot of thought and research and deliberation, and really kind of offers the county a reasonable modification of the district to ensure its continued success. After the 30-day comment period, again, people can write in and say, I want to add my land to the district. Somebody can say, I want to add largemouth to the district. Somebody can say, and then somebody can say, I want to get rid of the district altogether. So anybody can really kind of propose modifications to the district. That all gets compiled. In addition to that, there is a public hearing.
Which
you're voting on today. You can discuss that a little bit more. I think, I had actually wanted to talk to the law department a little bit more about that. I think Chris and I had a discussion about that. And the timing is always, a little bit tricky. Do you wait until you actually form a proposal before setting the public hearing date? Certainly we can set that in advance of this and continue, under the premise that this will be the proposal. But I don't know what kind of comments we're gonna receive.
Well, I think we have the hearing based upon what the proposal on the table is.
Right. Yes, and I think that's the way that's what I would recommend.
That's how we're moving ahead.
Good. In that case, we don't have to talk about time. The staff could work that out. But I would imagine it's probably not going to be before maybe the second meeting in October, maybe November. Be the earliest dates for such a public hearing. That's basically it. Once the public hearing is closed, the Board of Legislators makes a recommendation, sends it to the State Commissioner of Agriculture. They'll review it and either certify it, or they could propose modifications to it, in which case it comes back to the county, and the county can either accept those proposed modifications or propose more modifications, in which case you have to do another public hearing. But I don't think the state or anybody else wants that. We've got a very good working relationship with the state, and I think that they are. We have been in contact with them regarding these changes. While they have not given us any written feedback, I think they're interested as well in seeing what we can come up with in a suburban county on how to use their program, their statewide program. So hopefully they're as interested to see it as we are in getting it through.
Okay, thank you. All right, here's what I suggest we do. We've just got 25 more minutes, so we're going to get this in, and we're going to get it in quickly. We're going to go to Barbara. We're going to go to Dave. We're going to take questions from the board. We're going to open it up to the public. How does that sound? And then we're going to vote. By four. Remember, it's just on the public hearing, so there's plenty more time for comment from people. So if this doesn't go the way you want, it's not a fait accompli.
After 2 years of working on this, much to our frustration, my board is made up of people who are doers and activists. They want things to happen. And we've been slowed down a little bit by this very long process, but we're hoping that from here on it really moves along. We're a year late in the recertification of the district with the changes, and 2 years into the process, we have kind of come to a standstill because we have not been able to function for more than a year because we didn't have this recertification done. We're delighted with the report. It reflects many, many meetings and many, many changes and an understanding among us all as to what's involved with this. I don't know what else you need to know. I can answer lots of questions. You all have 25AA, which is the state law, which sets up the district and the recertification process. And the report that David and Ed Burrows finally got put together, we were held up last winter when there was a change of administration. Everything kind of got slowed up. We have very active farmers, and they want to get on about their business. What else would you like to know from me?
Well, we'll open it up for questions in a minute after we hear from Dave, but I guess the main thing we want to hear from you as chair of the board is your board supports the recertification plan. You're enthusiastic about it. Okay.
Yes. We hope that you...
And your farmers are too.
Our board is made up of six farmers and five as of office members. So we really, we're involved with as much as we can be, and we want to get this behind us so we can go back to our farms.
Great. Thank you. Dave.
Dave and Barbara said it all. I'm here to help out with the questions. That's about it.
So, all right. Thanks. Legislators, I have just two quick questions, and then we'll open it up. The two I'll put into one. Deal a little bit with the ones that were in the district and now the district, are they grandfathered in? Is it old criteria? Is it new criteria? Take us through the process for people who were in the district. Maybe they didn't respond. Do they have to respond to stay in? Let's just talk about those folks a little bit.
Yes, they have to respond to stay in.
They must respond. They must affirmatively act to get
in. That's right, because we've changed things.
And is it new criteria or old criteria?
New.
All right, so I could have been in the old, but if I don't, with all that criteria that Dave listed, if I don't get in that, then I'm not eligible.
That's right. At this point, you're still in the district. The old district remains in effect until the new one takes over. So we don't have to worry about being in that kind of a void. We have some people that we think probably we were very enthusiastic when we first started the district, and some people were included who should not have been. And we've had 8 years to review everything that's going on in agricultural in the county, and we've seen some things that need to be changed, and this map is a reflection of that.
Okay, and then the last question I have is, Dave, when you were mentioning all those folks who were advising in this process, was Cornell Cooperative Extension involved in it?
Yes.
They were.
Yeah, Barbara Sachs, or the executive director, or an extension agent, is an ex officio member of the board. So Barbara Sachs does go to all the ag board meetings and has been very involved in throughout this process.
Okay. All right. I note for the record the arrival of legislators Kaplowitz and Nona. Legislator Kaplowitz had his hand up, then Legislator Testa, then Legislator Burton.
Mr. Chairman, I've been pleased to have been, the board liaison to the Farmland and Agricultural Protection Board from the beginning. I used to have a lot more color in my hair when this started, but still on top of my
gray
head.
Gray is a color.
Most of it.
It really has changed in 13 years.
But gray is a color.
Okay, there you
it's
go.
It's not the absence of color.
But we are, when we picked 8 years ago, I never thought the 8 years would ever come. And sure enough, it did. I want to start off by thanking Barbara and the entire board. They really do put a tremendous amount of time in, but more than that, they put in tremendous effort in. And we're really better in Westchester, in the farming community, environment, agriculture, and all the rest for Barbara and the entire board. So they deserve a tremendous amount of credit. To Dave and to Dave, who you know, come to all the meetings, Dave Kamenge just spends a tremendous amount of time on this. And it's been a start and stop and a lot of interesting things. Administration have come and gone, but the agricultural district, the reason for it continues. I just have some very specific questions, Mr. Chairman, and then I'll save a lot of comments for the future. But I remember it was 151 parcels and 11,800 acres was the first inventory of the very first application 9-10 years ago. How many parcels and how many acres, as it stands, are being recommended?
The current agricultural district has 210 farms and about 12,875.
That's what's grown through the years, yeah.
But of these, this is only about 101, well, I would say about 80, around 80 farms and about 5,000, about just under 5,000 acres. I think it was 4,700 something.
Okay. Well, have you?
Acres.
Okay.
So we're about 50% of the district.
It needs to be noted that, for example, the Muscoots, the Lasdins, the county facilities,
correct,
which we had included the first time around, we've not included.
Right.
There was no reason not to. There was no reason to. It was more symbolic and all. We can talk about that if we want to put them in just for the sake of putting them in. But and there might be a reason just, again, just to buttress and support. But that's something. Second question. Pound Ridge is not in. Again, we're not in too much detail, but there's one parcel that did come back. Had we heard some contentiousness around Pound Ridge?
You got to remember, too, this proposal isn't necessarily widespread among the general public. So, and that's what I say, once this goes out and people really kind of start, we may get a lot of comments.
All right, so this is a good chance to reach out to.
Yeah, so we're just talking about the public hearing today.
We're picking, there was like 8-16 number of years. Are we still using the 8-year selection period? Okay, and that's a discussion we could consider longer if we want, but we have the 8-year. How new towns? There would be a process whereby towns could, if a parcel in the town subsequent wants to get in, does the town itself have to also send us a home rule message? So let's say the one parcel in Greenberg says, we sent in the application, we want to be in, Greenberg's not in. Have you set that up as a...
That's actually a very good question. I think if the... That's a good question. I would imagine that if the Board of Legislators creates these criteria with these geographic criteria, and a parcel in a town that's not I would imagine they would at least have to go back to the Board of Legislators.
Well, no, it's not just the board, but are we going to memorialize again for discussion? Can we put in a procedure whereby almost like a home rule, the town two parts, the town would have to say yes, we want to have an agricultural district in our town, resolution majority of the governing council, and then the parcel would, the application itself would come in. So if we have that opportunity, let us know as we go forward.
Right.
That will happen in the public hearing, Mike. That's when we would get the information about who that we have left out would like to be in.
New district. Does this new district obviate the designations of the old district? That is, that once, in fact, the door comes down and the new agricultural district number one is in place, is it that moment that, in fact, all the previous designations in Ag District 1 go away that are not in the new district?
Once the district is certified by the commissioner, and there's usually, you get a letter, and it becomes effective 60 or 90 days after that date, date of that letter.
Farm stands? What is the stand on farm stands?
If they're part of a farm, they are included, and they don't have to be contiguous parcels.
Do we have a homegrown rule, more than 50% or some percentage of produce sold has to be?
Yes. I forgot to mention that. Yes, that is one of the criteria, that the agricultural operation has to be the predominant commercial use of the property.
So stew lettuce, which grows very little of it, if anything,
right,
would not be in the air. We use that
example. Exactly.
And we used a mom and pie, put out a farm stand, they just grew the tomatoes as the other bookend.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I just one last question.
Sure,
I apologize
absolutely.
For taking time. So the last is process. The big thing that a number of us literally labored with, and then were at one point sued over, and it was a major issue, was the quasi-judicial process that we as the committee and the legislature have to engage in, and the lack of guidance that we had gotten to be able to know what the standard was, to be able to determine whether both the recommendations from the Ag Farmland Protection Board as positive, or even for that matter, the negative recommendations should be overturned, sustained or overturned. Does this plan contain pretty clear definitional standards so that the board can put it up on the wall and then decide this farm makes the standard, the farm doesn't make the standard?
We have attempted to do so. Certainly, there may be those, oddball situations that occur, and I think that the Ag District and the Ag Board and the Board of Legislators have had to wrestle with some pretty difficult gray kind of operations and proposals. This and the Ag Board's criteria and this proposal is attempting to address those.
So, thank you. If we could just also highlight that, so when it comes back to us for full substantive discussion,
yeah,
that we make sure that piece is out there, because we really want to avoid, those of us who are there, it was painful,
right,
to avoid, the rock cutting that you should or should not have been in, and let's set it out clear cut, no pun on that, so that we know what in fact the criteria
is. And just for the record, to Legislator Kaplowitz's point again, we're just voting today on scheduling a public hearing. This will come back to us based on the feedback we get from the public hearing. We could perhaps make deletions, modifications, additions.
Mr. Chairman, at the appropriate time, if you would so entertain the motion, I would second, either make or second the motion, given the fact that a huge piece of District 4 is both literally and thematically in the Ag District. So at the appropriate time, I'd like to
make. Well, at the appropriate time, you're the guy who's been working on this since your hair was golden blonde and on your shoulders. So, of course, we will.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you missed was touching on a point he had made.
That wasn't a crack. That was just a note.
I'm just saying.
Coming up a legislator.
I note for the record the presence of our chairman, Ken Jenkins. Thanks for joining us, sir. All right, Legislator Testa, then Legislator Burton, and let's go to the public for the last 3 minutes.
The green areas are obviously the people who have responded. Does not mean they are qualified, it just means they responded.
Correct.
So some of these that are outside the proposed district may or may not qualify. So we don't know, say, if this Pound Ridge, I can't tell by looking at it.
I can actually send you an updated map with that only shows the parcels that we proposed that would be proposed to be included at this time.
So in other words, if the Pound Ridge area qualifies and they're not in the district, what happens?
They would not be included like that. There's one farm that's completely in Pound Ridge, and then there's another that's half.
Well, but that gets also to Legislator Kaplowitz's
right.
question. What's the process that a Pound Ridge thinks it would be beneficial?
I would imagine you'd want letters of intent from the farm owners as well as something from the town that, in support of that.
Will you be doing more outreach?
Would be perfect.
Pardon? To both of their points, will you continue to be doing outreach during this public
hearing sir, period? Period. The 30-day comment period will be initiated with posting the legal notice in the paper as well as those municipalities, and also sending individual mailings to the municipality, all the municipalities in the county.
If you wouldn't mind, without causing too much work, number one, indicate which one of whatever areas here are not qualified under the regulations?
With the outreach to the municipalities, we send them a map of their community and a list of the farms that are eligible for the district and not.
So you have that already?
We do have a list of.
All right. One sec. We're being joined by the legal cavalry. If you wouldn't mind, identify yourself for the record, and then fill us in, please.
Yes, it's Linda Trenacosti, Associate County Attorney from the County Attorney's Office. I just wanted to make one comment with respect to the jurisdiction in which the little parcel may or may not be located. Of course, this board in the past, in history, has shown that they would like positive input from the municipality, which is, of course, your prerogative to include a parcel or not. One of the things you should be aware of is that one of the purposes for the Ag District is to also allow individual parcels, when appropriate, to be able to challenge local zoning laws. That has caused, as you know, various litigations and people trying to misuse that particular provision. But it was also intended as this county board being able to protect those ag districts from a municipality who may not be as concerned with that jurisdiction, with the issue of agriculture within their jurisdiction. So I just want to remind this board that it is your prerogative. While, of course, you know, you may want to have deference to a local municipality's feelings, that this board does have the prerogative to establish these rules aside from their personal feelings in this matter.
And just my last request would be, since I don't have the previous or the existing district to compare, is Pound Ridge in
basically the existing districts of the entire county. Okay. Every parcel, red and green, that you see on the map, is in the existing district.
But it just seems to me that there's three main areas, North Castle, Pound Ridge, and Newcastle, are the only three really that would...
Yeah, those were three...
Why take them out if there's parcels in there?
Those were three communities where we felt we went through and evaluated and kind of categorized the communities by, you know, those with a lot of agriculture, those with some agriculture, and those with little or no agriculture. North Castle, Newcastle, and Pound Ridge kind of came under the category of those communities with some agriculture. Those are also the communities that have had the most problems with the situations that Linda was explaining as well. So I think, you know, with some of the feedback from the municipal representative on the steering committee, we decided to propose to keep those out. Certainly, and we also received letters both from Newcastle and North Castle to not include them in the district. So,
Legislator Burton was.
Well, you have the lips or cap lips.
I just want to respond to that point as the legislator from Newcastle currently. It was most contentious, and I want to give credit to Nora Sokoloff, who was here and one of the homeowners in Newcastle that has struggled under and has been in some kind of unfortunate conflict with parcel that's in. So Newcastle, as I understand the community, for what it's worth, is probably not generally supportive. And interestingly, if you look at the map, it's a line. It's kind of the frontier line of development versus what remains historical and agricultural. And as we know, as demographics move, that's kind of where the crest is, which it underscores why we need to do this, because if we don't continue to do these things, that line of sprawl and that line of development will continue to go forward and northward, and we'll lose all the historical, environmental, agribusiness, and the like resources that we do have. So, but those parcels, we'll deal with that, you know, the committees, hopefully not through this district at this time.
Legislator Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I have three specific questions. Number one, Barbara, I had talked to you and to Dave about a particular individual in the town of Cortland who I think we may have determined as actually the legislator's Testa's sister. But it had to do with this particular property owner trying to get into the district in order to facilitate getting certain building permits. And he was declined because, of course, the district couldn't accept anybody new. Now, with the condition of 70 acres and $25,000 in sales or $50,000 in sales, regardless of size, is this individual who is not may not have the ability to show you actual sales receipts because he's been shut out. Is there any way for him ever to get in?
There is a provision for startup operations that they have. This gets a little tricky too, because once you're in the district, you're in the district. There is a provision to allow startup operations. I think for a minimum of for 3 years. And I think the Ag Board would have to evaluate and deliberate very heavily on a plan to reach those goals. So the applicant will have to convince the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board and the Board of Legislators. Remember, don't forget that anybody proposing to add land.
We must add.
You're the final, before it goes to the state, you make that recommendation. So the Ag Board and the Board of Legislators will have to be convinced that farmer has an adequate plan to meet that to meet those criteria within a certain period of time. Because you get into these situations where, well, I need to put up a fence in order to do my farm, but the town won't let me put up the fence, so I have to get in the Ag District. So you get this catch 22 situation. It's quite common.
Mr. Burton, I went to see that gentleman.
Yes, you did.
And had some conversation, talked to my board about it, and they instructed me to write to him and say, you haven't put in an application for the Ag District, therefore it's not our problem.
So the fact that he hadn't written you a letter is what was really blocking him from your being able to...
No, he had not filled out an application.
Until we start doing applications again.
Therefore, because of the fact that the district essentially expired in 2009, he was in that particular catch 22. When we pass this,
the annual inclusion process will begin again.
And is there some indication that you would perhaps be able to open on the possibility there might be other people besides this gentleman? Could you open the process early?
Relatively soon,
like immediately after this thing.
Well, the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board typically will receive applications, in September, October, gives them adequate time to review them. The 30-day window is very late. It's laid out by this, the county has adopted January as the 30-day period in which to receive applications for the annual review process.
So therefore, it behooves this board to move this along if this particular individual were going to be considered in January.
He could conceivably write a letter during this 30-day comment period, or submit it as part of the public hearing process, and it would be on the record, and the board could choose what it would do with it.
Chairman Harkin points out that I have used up by a factor of about five the allotted time for this, so I'll take these up offline with you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'm sorry. All right, we've got 6 minutes, so we're 5 minutes for public comment, then we need a minute to vote on this. Again, we're just voting on a public hearing, so if you have strong feelings for or against, save your A speech for the public hearing. If you have written comments, we're happy to have your written comments. But again, we're just voting on a public hearing, and whatever the issue, my personal feeling is public hearings are always good. So we're just voting on a public hearing today, not on whether to pass this or not. So we've got 5 minutes. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4. That's a minute a person. So we'll start in the back and we'll work our way front. Anybody? Comment? Jeff? Ma'am?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So you can have 3 minutes and say it. Unfortunately, we've got to be out of here at 4, I know.
I'm going to make it short, but I have an awful lot to say. I have a 4-page document.
And we will distribute that to every committee member here. Thank you for bringing that.
My experiences in detail. My issue is with the state.
Could you just say your name for the record, please?
For the record, my name is Nora Sokolov.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
My My issue is with the state and the way that the state administers this program. I'm afraid that the county officials are not truly aware of how the state administers this program. That's what this memo is all about. It documents what has happened between myself, my town, and the state. It seems that once a parcel is admitted into the program, nobody has any power over what occurs after that, except for the state. There is no system of checks and balances to protect a neighbor, a resident that is adjacent to a property. I am all for the preservation of farmland. I think it's a very admirable goal. However, the way the state interprets the laws is very arbitrary and capricious. They do not adhere to their own laws. I have proof and documentation to support that. That law 25AA, they don't adhere to that law. I think it's very important that the county understand this. And that's, I think, as far as I can go today.
All right, no, that's great. We will distribute that to all the members. We will put it as part of our public record. And we hope you'll come back for the public hearing and expand upon that. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Patricia Beckham. I am a farmer in Yorktown and a pending member of the Farmland Protection Board. But I just wanted to voice my support for the continuation of the agricultural district and hope that you guys will vote to proceed with the process. I've had a very good experience with the ag districting. I had a problem with my municipality that they really helped solve for me, and they've been instrumental in helping me get a whole farm plan and work with the watershed and Cornell Cooperative, and it's really enhanced my business and my farm, so I just wanted to say it's been on a practical, pragmatic level, a really, really good thing for me.
Can I just say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
When the farmer, okay, is respectful of their neighbors, it's a great program. But when you have a problem farmer, okay, and there's an adverse farming practice that is taking place, there is very little recourse that the town or the neighbor can take.
Okay.
It's a dead end.
Okay.
I spend $40,000 of my own money because of a problem that was created for me by this program.
Okay. All right, thanks. And again, this is just a public hearing. We're not authorizing the program today. I have a legal question before I entertain the motion from Legislator Kaplowitz. When we vote before the full board on a public hearing, it has to be to a date certain.
Right.
Can we vote this out of committee now without a date certain and then discuss among staff when that date certain is, and then when the vote before the full board, we say, or do we have to determine the date certain now?
You can, since it's merely an act of the Board of Legislature in setting the date, you can make that amendment on the board, on the floor of the board, to actually establish
okay.
the date and have that amendment.
Yeah, but we fill
yeah,
it
we
in.
That yeah, time.
Okay.
That
all right.
Make that change on the
okay. Thank you. So with that bit of information, we will
so
entertain.
So moved for public hearing purpose only.
All right. Moved by Legislator Kaplowitz. Second by Legislator Kesta.
Only public hearing. We're not going to do this for all purposes.
Right. Just for only public hearing.
That's the decision.
Okay. Right.
The feeling is there might be some changes.
Right. Because it's like a 3-month process.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion?
I guess you could have a quick question. We haven't now. We don't have any time.
Go ahead. You've got 25 seconds.
Yes. What your role is in this? Who's the tax
ex officio member of the board, and I support them on the assessment input that into the process. For example, the criteria that we've come up with kind of dovetails into what the ag assessment program is. If there are issues related to assessments and so forth,
do they get property tax abatements?
As with any other taxpayer, whether you're in the ag district or not, you're eligible for an ag assessment reduction if you.
But that was one of the problems that we had, that individuals were trying to enter into the ag district without qualifying for the assessment program, and they were thinking that was going to be back ended.
Okay. That's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions, comments? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we made it within a minute. That's not bad.
And they're not here.
Do we have a motion to close?
So moved.
I got 2 points to raise to keep in mind. You got a memo, we got a memo that our plastic bag recycling law has now been preempted by state law. Something to keep in mind. Two, I saw in the paper today that the state passed a law on phosphates.
On phosphorus, yeah.
Take a look at how that compares.
In fact, this committee, that's a good question. This committee, Chris, I don't know if you have or is planning to ask the county attorney for an opinion as to how the state law relates to our law.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody.
We have minutes, too.
We voted on those.